Good morning. This is Mark Mace, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning. And let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have, Lord, just to take a few moments and direct our attention to, Father, your word. And I pray, Lord, I'm asking you this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to use your written word in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, may you stir us. May you cause us to think differently. May you use these next few minutes, Lord, to bring us closer to you. Draw us to yourself, Lord. Help us to see truth, and may that truth make us free. Lord, you said you'd sanctify us through truth and that your word is truth. This morning, sanctify us. Set us apart. Lord, use us for your honor and your glory. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, looking for biblical principles for practical living, trying to identify what God has instructed us to do, how to live. You know, God doesn't address everything in life by thou shalt and thou shalt not. There are often, and more often than not, biblical principles that God has given to us that we are to apply to make our decisions and to help us have discernment with. That's why God's given us his word, so we can take the word, read it, digest it, consume it, and let it consume us, and read and find its principles and then apply them to our lives. And by doing so, we'll be so much more better off having not done so. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Here's one of those, what the world would like to say, one of those sticky subjects. But I'm glad this morning what the world calls a sticky subject to God's not sticky at all. God knows what he meant, and he meant what he said, and he knows exactly what to do. God's philosophy about child rearing is that when you need to spank, you need to spank. When you need to fix the problem, you need to fix the problem. God's not confused about this. Man is. Somebody goes off to school and becomes a psychologist or psychiatry and he studies that. And he comes back and he doesn't know what's what, who's who, or if he is. Someone said one time, said the more often than not, the one who needs the psychiatry is the psychiatrist. I don't know how true that is, but I think sometimes when men profess themselves to become wise, the Bible has said they become fools. And when man comes along and says he knows more than God about anything, that man is lying. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm not against science. I'm all for science. But I'm against the science that tells us there is no God. I'm against scientists when they say and they try to tell us they know more than God knows. Whether it be the science in the test tube or the science of psychiatry or whatever, God is God, and God's word is truth. And I refuse to let anybody, I don't care how many degrees he has behind his name, to supersede the authority of God's word. Here in this account, we have God teaching about parenting skills, really. It's not just about spanking or disciplined, but it's about parenting skills. And the Bible says when a child is stepped outside of the boundaries of right and needs to be corrected, there are times when it is justly or justified when we need to spank. In other words, there needs to be consequences for the actions. In the book of Proverbs 13:24, the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Some time back, I believe it was on a Sunday or Wednesday night, we had one of our bus riders. They were at church, and I was talking about this verse or this concept, and I shared with our church how that my mother, how boy she used to spank me. I got a pile of spankings, and I deserved every one I got, I suppose, and probably a whole lot more that I didn't get. I'm glad this morning my mother's now deceased. My mother and my father are now deceased. But I'm glad they didn't fall under, they weren't mesmerized by Dr. Spock. Many of you remember who he is. who comes along and thinks he knows more than God. Dr. Spock doesn't know anything compared to God. We need Dr. God, not Dr. Spock. I'm glad my mother and dad didn't believe in that stuff. They believed in the Bible. And when I got out of line, they put me back in line. When I did something wrong, they were more than willing to teach me there's some consequences to those actions. My father used to say to me, he said, "Boy, I'm going to jerk a knot in your head." Now, I knew very clearly and instantaneously that meant I better straighten up or else. You know, today's society, so many parents say, "Well, I don't want to teach my children that striking is the cure to a problem." Well, my mother thought it was a good way to fix it, and she was more than willing to do so. Thank God she was, and thank God she did. "He that spareth his rod," this young boy was sitting in our class, in this church, and while I was sharing these stories, and he said this question. He said, "Well," and I said, "Well," I said, "you know, if a mother or a father who loves her child spanks them, and the more often you spank them, mean love. That's love always does that." And that boy said, young man said, "My mother must love me a lot." Apparently, he was getting a lot of spankings from home, and he understood, "Well, my mother must love me a lot because she sure does get on me." Our church laughed. We had a big laugh about it. But the truth of it is that rearing children is something that we need God's wisdom on. We don't need to turn to the world to find out. Look what the world has turned out. Look what the progressives have turned out in our society. Utter chaos. Absolute abstract failures. And yet they try to tell us they know more than God. I say, let God be true and every man a liar. We ought to believe God. Proverbs 19, verse 18, the Bible says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying." Proverbs 29, 15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Well, think about how true that verse is. Proverbs 29:17, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight into thy soul." Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but a rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Basically, what we're looking at this morning is a subject that this world has gotten wrong. I mean, woefully wrong. This idea that you don't discipline your children, there's not consequences, and there are those who say you shouldn't strike a child, shouldn't spank. You know, I'm against child abuse, and I think anybody who abuses a child needs to be justly dealt with. But spanking and corporal punishment in the biblical sense, in the godly sense, is not child abuse, it's child rearing. It's loving them. It's proper parenting skills. And may God help us to see that God knows more about this than man does. Listen, when you go to the world, to a man, the Bible says, "A fool saith in his heart, there is no God." And often those who have studied and become these men and women supposed of higher learning, they say there is no God. Well, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful." So we shouldn't get wrapped up in listening to the world when the world clearly is opposing scriptures. God, let God be true and every man a liar. God's method works, always has and always will, when it's done properly. Now we need to do it properly, but it does work. And may God help us to have the wisdom and discernment. You know, this morning, those of you who still have children at home, some of you have probably that are listening have probably said to yourself, you say, "Well, you know," and you're proud. I've never struck my child. I've never spanked my child. And you're proud of that. And you ought not to be proud of it. You ought to be ashamed that you thought that God didn't know what he was doing. Now, I'm not saying that you have to spank the child, just spanking. But if the child needs it, then you got to do what you got to do. And you do it in a biblical way, do it in a proper way, do it in a loving way. You know, a parent that would let his child play in the road without disciplining that child to whatever point he needed to discipline to get that child out of that area of imminent danger is not a good parent. And when we as parents today, in our today's society, when we don't protect our children from what the perils of life nowadays, and we don't discipline them, and we don't correct them, and we let them have their way, we let them, this idea where we're going to let our children make their own decisions, that's absolute utter foolishness. You have, God's given you the responsibility to help that child. He didn't give you that child so you can put them on a leash and let them hang themselves. You're to lead. You're to guide and direct. You're to be the leader of the home, the parent. And may God help us to see. There's a lot more that could be said here, but may God help us to see the wisdom that God knows what he's talking about. And we would be wise to take heed to this. We would be wise to follow God's methods and do it properly and do it righteously. May God help us to do that. Let's drop down to verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, "Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." Let not thy heart envy sinners. Boy, doesn't a lot of that go on? So, you know, the shelf life of a wicked person is very short. It doesn't always seem that way, but it surely is. It doesn't take long before the facade of wickedness begins to fall off. Things are not always what they appear to be, are they? You know, look before you leap is always good advice to anyone who's contemplating a sinful life. The book of Psalm 73, verses 1 through 18, has a lot to deal with this subject. Don't have time this morning to read that all, but I would encourage you, Psalm 73, 1 through 18, read that. Psalm 37 is another real good chapter in the Bible to read about this subject. In Proverbs 3:31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Proverbs 24:1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. In Psalm 112, verse 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment in every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So this morning, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. God's teaching us we ought not to envy the sinners. And the reason God tells us not to do that, because he knows we're prone to do that. We look at the world. We compare ourselves among ourselves. Sometimes we compare ourselves, you know, church with church, Christian with Christian. But sometimes we Christians, we look at the world and we compare ourselves and we say, boy, you know, they sure do have it really good. They don't. And we begin to almost be envious because we think they're getting ahead of us and they're getting away with something. We need to be reminded they're not getting away with anything. Psalm 73, Psalm 37, read those chapters. It'll explain to you. They're not getting away with anything. The shelf life of a wicked person is very short, though sometimes it seems very prosperous. It is not all what it's cracked up to be. Things are not always what they appear to be, and we would be wise to believe God on this. Don't envy sinners. Don't envy the sinful life, because the shelf life is very short. May God give us wisdom and discernment here. It's easy to be allured into the world because of the world. What they have to offer seems to be legitimate. But in reality, it's just false promises. And may God help us to have the wisdom and discernment not to fall prey to this. All of us have. Perhaps all of us will again. But may God help us more and more to be less and less fooled by the deceitfulness of the things of the world, not envying sinners, not envying that life, but holding fast and true to God's word and God's truths. Well, time has passed this morning. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.